Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering? Looks like it. Hey. What's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp, March 21st, 2022. Man, this year's flying by. 24? What'd I say, 22? I think I was looking at the year. March 24th, 2022. Welcome to the off-ramp, the show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's popping in your hood. My hood, the hoods all across the world, Ukraine, Russia. It's a lot popping over there.
Ukraine?
That's I don't know what country that is.
It's not
Ukraine? It's Ukraine. Ukraine? I mean, it's something like Ukraine.
No.
In the hood, we call Ukraine.
I'm sure.
Welcome to the off-ramp. Man, see, you fucked up my intro.
Sorry.
The off-ramp, man. Should we get together, rap about the week's mathematics? You know, just have good conversation. See what's happening in these streets. See what you find interesting in the news, sports, music. See what kind of things that you find interesting, and we discuss them. Nothing too deep. We use fake names, fake locations, so that people don't get fired from their jobs. And we just kind of kick it, you know? So if you want to call in, feel free, 929-477-3975. We just discussing the red topics. You can catch us on the socials. You just heard DJ C. Siren. DJ C. Siren, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
All right, doing it.
DJ C-Sign might fall asleep a little early. We've been drinking since about 7 o'clock. Probably earlier than that. Probably about 5 o'clock. Yeah, it's been a long night. It's been a fun night. You know, you rarely get a chance to do like a little date night and get a little chance to just kick it, have a couple drinks. So, you know, I went out with my current boss and my old boss. Now, both, like, I've been blessed with really lucky managers. And so yeah, that was about it. Nothing real salacious about it. Just kind of talking shop and kicking it. So feel free to call in. We got DJ C Siren in the building. We got my man Weezy in the building. Weezy, welcome to the off-ramp. How you holding up tonight, my brother?
Doing all right. Thank you.
There you go.
Beach Bum Gun, DJ C Siren, glad to be back.
Glad to have you as always. Where your nephew watch at, yo? I done paid 2 months of your cable bill. Where your nephew watch at, yo? It's caught up in the pipeline.
Oh, yeah. I'll send that tomorrow. I'm going in the office tomorrow, so I'll use company resources to send it. Yeah.
Man, he ain't gonna send it tomorrow. I know what that means. I'll see it in about a month. But glad to have you. Glad to have you join us as always, Brother Weezy. Happy Crossing Day or Sigmaversary. I don't know when we cross. I text you, hey, when do we cross over? And you said, sometime in March of 2001. And I said, damn, that's what I remember too. So, at one point, me and Weezy became Sigmas 21 years ago. I can't think 21 years ago. Has it been 21 years?
No.
2001.
I'm only 20.
Damn.
I'm 20 years old, so it can't be that.
You're 20 years old. Not with that hairline.
The George Jefferson gives me away every time.
give you away every time. I got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Blessed and highly favored, as always, you know. Doing my thug fizzle, living life, shining bright, whole nine.
Okay. I like to hear, like the energy. Week's been going good. Everything Gucci?
Yeah, man, I'm great. I mean, out here in the Midwest, weather's being Midwest-like. I mean, it was like 75 and sunny. Very next day, it's thunderstorms and clouds all day. So, you know, I mean, you got to roll with the punches. Keep it on.
I hear that. All right. And we got my man Dr. Black in the building. Dr. Black, welcome back to the off-ramp. It's been a while. You've had a busy year, my brother. Had a busy year. Congrats on your nuptials. Happy early birthday
Thanks,
to
man.
You. You've had a
appreciate
lot, man.
You,
how's married life?
I feel like it's not really that much different from what I've been dealing with the last 5 years. It's just I got a ring on now. But it's been cool. You know, the kid is a different story, but everything is straight.
Yeah, the kids change everything. Married life is a lot similar to dating. Like, if you've been living with your partner, not much changes when you get married. It's a shame that we have to sign our life over for something that doesn't really change. what? Did you sign? What you said? I know. We got to sign half our life over away for something that we've been doing for years. But now that we got a piece of paper, now I got to go to court to leave. But the kids are game changers. Kids are, even me and DJ C. Cyrus' kid, like he's starting, like I got mad at him yesterday. I flipped out on him yesterday. So it was a tough vibe in the house. So this morning I woke him up early so he could stop. What'd he do? Yeah, just being a kid, not paying attention. You'll realize that, like, you and Blur can speak to this, Weezy can speak to this. When you have kids, and because we're all present fathers, you know your children. So when your children start doing dumb stuff, you get so frustrated because you just be like, yo, like, what happened? Like, what happened from yesterday to today, and how'd you get so dumb? Because what you're doing is making you angry because you don't do this. So my child did something that really angered me, right? And you'll kind of know it's hormones, right? You'll kind of know that it has something to do. Like, your kid will be getting taller, and then all of a sudden they'll start getting dumber. And you'll be like, yo, like, what the hell? This doesn't make any sense. So anyway, so my child pissed me off yesterday because he had something to study for in school. He was like, I didn't get anything. And then he opened up his book bag, and it was in there. So, like, I flipped out on him, like, yo, why are you being like this? Laid him out. So this morning I said, yo, you got to wake up early. You got to study because he had a test today. So I woke him up early, and I was like, yo, get up. And usually in the morning, like, we have a nice, like, father-son process. Like, I pick him up, and I carry him to the bathroom and all that stuff. But this morning, I was like, yeah, you got to get up. You got to get ready. You got to get downstairs and study. So I'm getting stuff ready, just getting stuff for him ready for all this stuff. And he got dressed, and he's just sitting in the middle of his floor in his room. And I'm like, yo, get up. Like, you got to get downstairs. And he was like, yo, I just finished getting dressed. Whoa. And I kind of looked at him. And he looked at me. And he was like, I'll just go downstairs and study. And it's those moments where you got to think about, like, if you should kill your kid or if you know that something is just going on and you just gotta let them rise sometimes. sometimes. So, good luck to you. Good luck to you, Black. But glad to have you on the show.
Appreciate it.
I got my homegirl. What's your nickname? I got my homegirl from Cali in the building. What's your nickname?
Hey, what's going on? We're going with Moni.
Okay, we'll just go with Moni. What up, Moni? How you been tonight?
All right. Chilling.
Good. Well, glad to have you. Welcome back to the off-rent. Glad to have you as always. So let's get this popping. We got a good crowd tonight. I'll leave everybody else kind of low-key. Kid just went to bed so we can start cussing. Everybody's off mute. Like I said, like the usual rules is, you know, mute yourself. If you want to jump in, I'll leave all lines open. So mute your own phone, but if you want to jump in, feel free to unmute yourself, jump on in, and let's have a good conversation. First topic that I'll bring up tonight, what do we want to start with? DJ C-Sign, I'll start with you. Anything specific you want to talk about? I know you want to get into the judge, Joe Jackson here.
Joe
But
Katalia,
that's a tough name.
Yeah, I mean, it's people want.
You want to do the serious stuff first, or y'all want to have some fun? No, not really. All right, so look, I want to get into the McDonald's versus Arby's beef. So Pusha T famously wrote the "I'm Loving It" McDonald's jingle with him, his brother, better known as the Clips, and Justin Timberlake and Pharrell. They got this whole "I'm Loving It" song that they wrote for McDonald's. And honestly, McDonald's just took the "I'm Loving It" part and just kept it. So the fact that he's claiming that he wrote the jingle, I get it. I would, too, if I was in his position. But they wrote, like, a four-minute song, and they only kept the words "I'm Loving It." Like, they didn't really keep the jingle. They just kept the phrase. But, hey, you wrote it, you wrote it. Well, apparently, Arby's paid Pusha to write a diss track. So now Arby's... I mean, now Pusha got a diss track against McDonald's firing up their fish fillet sandwich. And I just want to go down the list. I'll start with you, Blur. Has rap officially jumped the shark when we started writing beef between fast food companies?
I'm going to say no. That's interesting why you put that. But no, I'm going to say no. It hasn't jumped the shark. I think you see rappers and rap artists, their influence that they got now, like every rapper starting to get their own brand deals, like Meg got hot sauce, somebody, Travis Scott got a McDonald's meal, someone else got a McDonald's meal. Like, I think one of the chicks got a McDonald's meal who don't even rap. Like, she's just associated with rap, but I don't think she got no music out or whatever. So, no, I don't think this will call it jumping the shark. This is on point for Arby. This is kind of what they do, so... Nah, I mean, they just tap it into what's popular. So, nah, this is just another step along the line of rap becoming the popular music. Not jumping the shark, though.
Weezy, what you think? Has rap officially jumped the shark now that we're making multi-billion-dollar fast food beefs?
I'll say yes, it officially has. I don't think it's anybody's fault, though, because that's where the money is, and naturally you're going to gravitate to that. But, you know, I don't know. I just remember when it was about the music, and now it's just about, you know, being on TikTok or getting, you know, these little side gigs that make you all this money. Can't hate on it because, you know, they're balling, but at the same time, it's almost like it's not really hip-hop or the rap game. It's almost just like these individuals are entertainers at this point, and, you know, I wouldn't even call it rap. They're just business people. So nothing wrong with that, but, yeah, they it's definitely not the rap game.
Black, what you think?
You're I think I would agree with what Blur said, but then I can also see the other side of it in a sense that we're just going with the times. Like, you know, rap artists are now realizing their power and trying to take advantage of all aspects of entertainment. And so, you know, are we going with the times? Yeah. And is it about time? Of course. So I don't see there's anything wrong with it, though. But it's crazy that he's getting upset and making a diss record with Arby's. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, ladies, Moni, you're up first. What you think about the McDonald's versus the Arby's diss track? Have you heard it?
I have not heard it, but I'm for it. I think, I mean, it's fun, right? Like, if we can't have fun with rap, like, I don't see the point. And we can't take ourselves too seriously. And I don't know, like, it's on brand for Arby's, and I don't know, it's fun. It doesn't always have to be hardcore gangster rap and I'm about this and I'm about that. Like, have some fun with it.
It doesn't always have to be hardcore gangster rap, but he said, you know, I got the fish scale. Like, he talked about drugs in the song. But, okay.
Yeah, it was definitely prototypical Push. He got his drugs, his drug bars off on a commercial. So I applaud him for that, actually. I loved it.
Yeah, I give it to him. It was definitely one of those things where he put his signature on it. DJ C. Sire, what you think about the McDonald's and Arby's beef?
I'm just happy that Arby's knows about Pusha T and somebody reached out and said, hey, I mean, I don't know who came to who, you know, I don't know if this is in, you know, with the consideration of the McDonald's history. And, you know, I'm assuming that you didn't mention it, Beach Bone Gun, but I guess, you know, there is some sour notes sour relationship between McDonald's and Pusha, or why he would do the diss track. I heard that he didn't get paid.
No. See, and that's why you got to watch what you listen to. No, so when he made the McDonald's jingle with, again, 3-minute song for McDonald's, it's with Justin Timberlake, it's with his brother Miles, it's with Chad and Pharrell. They were in a position where they couldn't, or they just weren't interested in equity of the song. They were just writing a jingle for a restaurant, so they just got the cash up front. And now McDonald's has turned this jingle into basically their slogan, I'm loving it. And again, it's not even a whole jingle. It's just the phrase, I'm loving it. And so Pusha says that he feels like he deserves royalties. Well, I give it to Pusha. He never said that he feels like he deserves royalties. He just said that he should have been paid more for them to be using the slogan for the last 20 years. But that wasn't the contract.
It was part of the jingle. So
nobody listened to that. That ba da ba ba ba.
I'm loving it was sung. And
if you heard that song, you ain't hear nothing that McDonald's ever put out with that song.
I don't know about that.
Justin Timberlake got a whole bridge and chorus of that song that we ain't never heard of.
I don't know.
But
you
ain't heard it before he became the man in the
world. But that's the way jingles are written, though. Jingles are written as a whole songs that people can pick and choose what they want from and what they like. Like, they give, like, a wide range of variety so that the company will pick a portion of it.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be like a certain time limit for it to be considered a jingle. I still think the ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. I think that is a jingle still technically. I think that still constitutes as being a jingle just because it's only like, what, 2 or 3 bars. Still a jingle.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the fact that he wrote it. I'm just saying that they wrote an entire song. They didn't write the 2 or 3 bars as a jingle. They wrote a song. They made a jingle out the song, which – he still should have got paid, which he did get paid for. He just wasn't thinking in terms of equity. McDonald's paid him whatever the contract was, and that was it. I just think that the only time I saw Arby's is when I got down south. DJ C. Sign is the only person who I know who eats Arby's. And we've had this discussion that maybe it's just a southeastern Virginia thing because there's a lot of Arby's down here. I don't know where there's an Arby's anywhere else besides here.
There's Arby's over
here. Push is from this area. He lives in this area to this day.
So maybe that's why somebody around here knows Pusha. Because there's no way Arby's can really compete with McDonald's.
But anyway, like I was saying.
I think there might be a little bit of...
Hold on. Go ahead, DJ C-Sir, and I'll come back to you, Blur.
Since you cut me off. But I mean, you
gotta speak up a little. Blur might not hurt you.
No, I'm talking about you, Kishwanka. But anyway, So no. It hasn't jumped the shark. I mean, you're forgetting about many of the mainstream crossover tries that has happened throughout the 80s and 90s for hip-hop music. So, I mean, I think this is kind of mild compared to, you know, MC Hammer selling, you know, everything he sold.
MC Hammer wasn't really rap, though, was he?
Yes, he was pop rap, but it was rap.
Look, I love Hammer.
Come on now, you can't.
I don't diss him. I love Hammer.
I know. I mean, don't.
I was a Hammer fan, but I didn't know if we really considered that rap or was it just pop music.
No, we did not consider.
All right, look, I said, I got love for Hammer. I'm the one of the few people who listen to the Hammer diss Jay-Z videos. I thought the video was hilarious. They had Jay-Z in the woods. Hammer was wildin'.
But anyway, so I think it's entertaining. Why not? It's not jumping.
Look, I don't mind it because all of y'all are right. It's just entertainment. Moni said it best. You got to be able to have fun with it. But we can't say rap is now the voice of the voiceless anymore, right? Like, rap used to be a fringe, underground, voice of the people thing. We can't say rap is the voice of the people when they're doing McDonald's and Arby's commercials, can we?
I think we can. I think we can, but I think rap has just expanded. If you say rap hasn't been just the voice of the voiceless since it was a regional thing in New York. I don't think it was the voice. Once it expanded out of, I guess, those first few blocks, I think it expanded right away because – I mean, I'm trying to think what was the next era in rap that came after that. Well, I don't think gangster rap was the very next thing, but yeah, because we had it wasn't always the voice of the voices. I mean, when you have Run DMC and they were doing the crossover with whoever walked this way, that wasn't the voice of the voices. That was just pop music. That was just a hit song.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't like that.
Who?
I like Walker.
I mean,
who? Who didn't like it?
Everybody say Run the SC
was
selling out.
Who was everybody?
The streets.
Number one, you don't know what they were saying in the streets. Two, I think people accepted that. I think people liked that. Those same people that liked hip hop was looking at MTV.
And okay. I think it always has, like, parts of it. There's always going to be rap artists who are, quote-unquote, voice for the voiceless. I mean, you can look at Eminem, like, as being an artist for angsty white kids who didn't have a voice like that, and he became mainstream because there's a lot of them. So there's always going to be pockets of people because rap is so popular, so big, that there's going to be people talking about things that are speaking from a perspective for the voiceless, and you're going to have people who do a lot of mainstream stuff with auto-tune and, you know, talking about a fast food restaurant. So it's just going to run the gambit. It's going to cover everything.
Okay. We ain't got to stay on it too long. I got my man, M. Extra, on the line. M. Extra, welcome to the R Frame. We talk about McDonald's versus Arby's rap beef. Who you got in the rap beef?
Welcome. What's going on? Calling in from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I heard it yesterday. That joint, I was surprised that they actually named McDonald's in the joint. I don't like either one of their fish sandwiches. I've never even eaten at Arby's before. But in terms of just the overall, you know, just like the song and the tunes and shit, like, I got to give it to the Arby's.
Okay. All right, so we seem like everybody's pretty much in agreement. We ain't going to stay on it too long. You know, it's about 20 minutes on that.
Before you move on, though, I got to say, you and maybe even M. Extra, I think y'all are speaking from a little bit of a regional or local bias. I mean, Arby's, I ain't gonna say it's big. I don't think it's like a top three fast food place, but yeah, they out there. They cross the country. They big. So I'm not surprised that a national company knows about the history between Push and McDonald's. And I don't know if y'all get the commercials like y'all got there, but Arby talks shit. That's what they do. So yeah, this is right. This is right on brand for them. I'm not surprised by this at the in the slightest. This is what they do.
I mean, if I was Drake, I'd team up with McDonald's. And my response was, "So Pusha, you got the beat, you got the meats," because that's what Arby's phrase is. We got the meats, and it's always been a
down goes Gonzaga.
Would you say, Marshall?
Down goes Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Down goes Gonzaga.
Are we surprised, Tom?
I mean,
but yeah, so
yeah,
Arby's is definitely Arby's is
nice.
Definitely big. I don't know where people stay at, but it's big in Virginia. It's actually not bad. The roast beef sandwich is actually really good.
Go to Arby's and get yourself a sandwich.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's one in Chattanooga.
Fast food roast beef sounds pretty terrible, but if you think of like a barbecue, you know, they just got a pot with the little tea light fire underneath, and they just keep roast beef in there. Yeah, you know the tea lights at the barbecue that you put underneath the little silver pans? The little, yeah, all right, so... All right, so that's it. We've covered that. We go right into March Madness. As MX, you just said, number one goes back. Gonzaga goes down to Arkansas. Real good game. Gonzaga has like a 7'6" kid and a dude with a crazy mustache, and they've been the best team all year. But Arkansas has been pretty tough, man, and they shocked them. They slowed the game down and only held Gonzaga to 68 points. March Madness has been pretty crazy this year. My Kentucky kids lost first round, but my Villanova kids look like we're posed for another championship. I'll start with you.
Nah.
And Maxtree, you've been excited. Your Duke kids are about to come on. You excited? You worried?
Man, I am not worried at all, man. Duke gonna take care of business. Then we're gonna run through Arkansas. And we're going to get Coach K another full regional title to put on his banner. We're going to keep rolling. That's how I look at it.
Okay. Predicting another title. I like the confidence. I like it. DJ Cesar, you've been excited about March Madness, or you don't care because you've been making me watch the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the greatest Jew show. Is Jew offensive? Do I have to say the whole word Jewish?
Yeah, you got to say Jewish. You can't say Jew.
Okay. The greatest Jewish show of all time. Next to Seinfeld.
No. I mean, we didn't do brackets. We, you know, a lot of teams fell early. Just happy the kids are happy.
No. Happy that the kids are happy. Weezy, you been watching any March Madness?
Yeah, I have, just for entertainment. I don't really follow college basketball, but what I am interested in is to see how many of these college basketball players end up getting this the little sports deal that they can get now. You know, you can pay college kids and you get the sponsorship. I feel like now is the time we should be seeing it, right? So I'm trying to see, you know, whether the winners or the Sweet 16, instead of getting that bag full of Dre headphones, you know, we should see some people getting paid this year. So I don't know who's still in it. Y'all got to tell me.
It's we can talk about the NIL deals in a minute, because we've seen it firsthand, especially with girls' sports, and it's pretty interesting. But let me
hear
everybody's take on March Madness, and we'll come back to it. Dr. Black, what you been thinking about March Madness? Are you allowed to watch March Madness, or because of your new marriage, you've been not allowed to watch TV?
Nah, I watch it because usually it comes on during the time that she's still working, so I'm good. But I've been enjoying it. It's been messing up my brackets, but I mean, for the most part, it's been great. And I knew that Gonzaga was going to go down soon. It's like this every single year with them. But the thing is, I don't think Arizona's going to win it. My bet, maybe Villanova or what's that squad? I just can't remember the name right now. But it's been going pretty good. I love it.
Okay. Okay. Then who's Blur? What you got? What you got on the tournament?
Oh, no, man, I think it's interesting. I didn't expect Gonzaga to lose, not this early, at least. Let me put it this way. I didn't think they were going to win, but I didn't expect them to go out this early. But, I mean, they still lost to a top five seed. As far as, like, NIL deals, I think they've already, I mean, not, they can get more, but I think almost all these guys, or at least the star players on all these teams, probably got crazy NIL money already. I think the Cinderella team, like St. Peter's, and the shooter on their team, I think that's probably going to be the biggest benefactor, the biggest winner as far as NIL money coming out of the tournament, because I think he's the one who's getting like most of the TV shine, because, you know, they're the Cinderella team, and he's the one who's been lighting it up on their team. If he don't got a big deal already, I'm pretty sure he's going to get one soon. I don't think they're going to take it all the way, but if they make it a little bit farther, Yeah, he's going to cash in.
Well, I tell you what, just going to the NIL deals, you know, being that, you know, I work for a university, I'm friends with, you know, a couple of folks in the sports department, you know, a couple times that we, you know, after games, you know, going out with the coaches and stuff, like we, like there's even the girls' side. Like, the coach would be like, yo, meet us at this restaurant because this restaurant is partnering with this player. And if we buy 10 burgers, she get a cut. And I know that's happening at the lower level. I can only imagine what these kids are getting at the upper level. Because, you know, I went into
Why they got to buy 10 burgers for her to get a cut? Don't she just get, like, a check anyway?
No, I think she gets a cut out of every sale. So
yeah,
if I remember how it was explained to me is when we showed up after the game, every purchase we made, whatever our total was, she got a percentage of that purchase for like the 6 hours we were in there.
I don't like that in NIL deal. I gotta be frank. I don't like that one.
And bro, that's how it, a lot of honestly, like it's not like you think where you know, Nike's just going to drop you a check. It's basically like if you follow, you know, I got a gymnast at home. So there's this girl gymnast at one of the colleges. She's got like 4 million TikTok followers, you know, doing flips all over the place and stuff. She's got a massive deal because if she has a certain water bottle, my daughter wants it. If she got a certain bag, you know, if she got a certain outfit, you know, it's all like that. So it's basically driving consumers, you know, in that type of way, rather than just Nike, you know, dropping you a check, even if you turn out to be a total butt. So it's a little bit different.
But I'm sure.
But I tell you what, if all it took was 10 burgers, I know that girl got paid, and you go in there, Beach Bum Gun.
You getting me back for your being ball comment, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
I bought multiple burgers, yo. But, you know, that's a good point. I'm pretty sure every NIL deal is different in comparison to, you know, the size of the school, you know, whatever the corporation is able to fund. Because you say, like, Blair, you say you don't like that deal, but this is just a restaurant. You know, this is COVID. It's not like they're getting big money anymore. The fact that she's getting anything, I was impressed.
This is kind of related to essentially the same as the conversation we were just having with Push at McDonald's or anybody. Do you take equity or do you take the check up front? I mean, I don't know what the restaurant is. I'm assuming it's not a big, massive chain restaurant, so maybe she will come out better getting a percentage of sales as opposed to getting a check from them up front. I just don't want my check dependent on your performance. Like, what if your burgers suck?
Don't sign the deal, man. What are you talking about? If you don't have
to,
you don't
deal.
Have to take an idea. What do you
mean? I
mean,
no, I'll sign a deal. I just want to check. I'll sign a deal because I don't want to call it chucking and jiving. That's what I think about all people who promote stuff. But, I mean, I'll wear the cap. I'll eat the burger, the commercial. I'll post you on my TikTok and on my Insta. But I want to get paid for it because I don't. And maybe, I don't know. I don't know the chain or the restaurant. Maybe she trusts them and she's like, oh, yeah, this is the number one spot out here in Virginia. They're going to make sales, so I'm going to eat. Because I don't know them. I'm like, yo, I just want, just give me my check, my $100,000, whatever it's going to be. I'll take that. I'll promote you for this season.
But no, maybe that's not what they want. They want you to, like, they want her to come to the restaurant. Again, I don't work for a big-time university. This ain't Ohio State. Like, if you're at Ohio State and you're a huge star, then, man, yeah, you might have that type of clout. But when you're at the level of the college that I'm working at, and no shade against her, she seems like a lovely young lady. She's a hell of a ball player. But, like, she might have to just take what she get because she could easily get nothing. Like, the other option is you don't get any NIL deal. You can get nothing. This is literally the restaurant. And it actually is a big chain. How big do you think that chain is? That's a nationwide chain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I think they're, you know, it's a franchise, so it's owned locally by somebody. You know what I mean? They just pay royalties for the name and likeness and all that good stuff. But you got to be nice to have those type of demands. And though I think she's good, I don't think she's that nice to have those type of demands. But that's just my opinion, you know. Thing at this level, you can get nothing. Like, if you're playing at this level, you play because you love it and you got a free education out of it. You ain't thinking you're going to be the next Deanna Taurasi. But
you butchered her name. Right. Not to change the subject real quick, cause I don't know if anybody else wanted to jump in, but I really hate NIL. I really do. I know I'm happy to see young people getting paid, but I don't like it. I don't like seeing athletes have to be pitchmen in order to get paid because they're still not getting paid for their sport. She's not getting paid for getting buckets. I mean, players aren't out there for getting touchdowns or whatever they're doing, putting money into the school. They're not getting paid for that. They're getting paid for being popular. Pay these people for playing. That's what I want to see them get paid for playing. None of this NIL stuff. That's cool. They should be able to get that as well. But nah, pay these people for playing and how they actually perform. Not none of this. All right, you got a big Twitter follower, so you can get a check.
But that's two different subjects. You know, the NIL.
I know, that's why I don't like NIL. I feel like NIL is a stopgap, and it's like, oh, they're getting paid. They're not really getting paid for their playing. I want them to get paid for what they're actually doing, what they're bringing to the school.
But not that's what just,
oh, yeah, you're famous.
Let me cut in, Gun.
That's what
Beach Bum.
Yeah, go ahead, Weezy.
Yeah, I think you're right. What you say, it's two different topics. I mean, it's NIL, name and likeness, right? So all these years, colleges were making money off of the name of people. They were putting, you know, a college student's name out front the restaurant where they were selling these burgers for years, and now they got a chance to make money off of it. It's not – college athletes will never get paid to actually play a college sport. I think that's just not the name of the game. But when you're able to use your name and likeness and get paid off of that, that's all this is. It's completely different, and I think it's right, because otherwise that burger chain would have still had her name because she's, you know, hey, we're support Towson Tigers, blah blah blah. Beach Bum Gun plays here. But Gunner ain't getting, you know, he's not getting one of them burgers. But now he got a chance to get some burgers. That's all they want.
Well, she gets a percentage of the burgers. I don't think she gets, like, I don't think just because I bought three burgers that day, like, she doesn't get, like, three free burgers. Like, I think she gets a percentage of the money. But
half a burger.
it's two completely different topics, but the I like the NIL deal, but what do you say against the people who say, hey, your free education is payment?
It's not commensurate with the amount of money I'm bringing into the school. It's not.
So you
especially
want them to get paid
with some of these other schools. I mean, especially some of these other schools when they're going to a course is going to be based off of the type of degree you're seeking. And I forgot what school is going. I don't want to say it's University of Chicago. It's another school that that's what they're going to. So I could come in and say, hey, I want to be a gym teacher. So my cost for attending that school is going to be a lot lower because my expectation as far as salary when I leave the school is going to be a lot less. So school is going to be cheaper. But I'm on a scholarship there, so you're paying, what, $20,000 a year? But I'm going to start running back, and I'm bringing you in millions. I need to get paid. I need to get paid for bringing in this school millions, not this measly $20,000 that you pay for my room and board. Nah.
So,
pay me for my millions. And if I'm an offensive lineman, and maybe my name, image, and likeness isn't that popular, maybe I don't do social media, so I don't have any following to sell myself on. But I'm opening up holes that I know in 4 years I'm going to get paid millions in the league. Let me get my money now. Pay me now.
So do you think that the teams that play for sports that lose money, those kids should have to pay to play those sports as well? Like, should they not get scholarships for non-revenue-generating sports in college?
I'm not sure if I follow. So they play for a sport, bowling. Bowling doesn't generate any money for the school. Even though I'm pretty sure it generates something. I don't know how much.
No,
if
I don't.
I don't know. Do bowling people money. Get scholarships? I'm pretty sure they get some type
yeah.
of scholarship. Do they get? So people
yeah, so
are going
to keep
bowl scholarships at Stanford for bowling?
Yeah.
Yeah, but to keep it simple, the way you can think of it is like this. No sport bring in money in college except for football. Maybe basketball.
And basketball.
But really, you're just talking about football.
And basketball, and I guess it's spinning on the school. Cause like, I mean,
I think
water
maybe.
Polo
is,
or like Harvard. Don't
football,
Harvard make money with their yacht team or something? They rowing team?
It's football 100%. If a school doesn't have a football team, you can forget about their basketball team. It's football that brings in the money 99% of the time.
I know some people at University of Kansas would beg to differ.
University of Kansas has a good rowing team. Ain't they in the middle of the country?
I
oh, no, I'm talking about
water.
Their basketball team. They don't need a football team because their basketball team is what's bringing in the money. I mean, Duke might say the same thing. Like, hey, we don't need a football team over here. Our basketball team is the money maker.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That like, it's 100. It's basically football teams. And, oh, yeah, maybe you can get away with having a basketball team that brings in the money. I'll say it like that because you're right about those teams you brought up. But the majority of the time, you have to have a football team that's bringing in money. Otherwise, you can't afford a rowing team or crew or you know, sorry to say it, but a lot of the female sports, they wouldn't be able to afford.
Oh, fuck your crew up.
I was just thinking that.
But, yeah, so I guess that's my question, Blair. Like, if you're saying that you want players to get paid commensurate, if you want players to get paid
commensurate.
The amount that they bring in revenue with the school, do you want the other side where these kids who play these sports who lose money for the school, should they then owe the school money? Or should they then?
No, they just don't get paid. If the school, because if the school is decide, hey, we need to have this team, we need to have this women's only bowling team, then yeah, you get those scholarships. But you're not bringing any money in, so you don't get paid. I mean, you don't get paid, but your scholarship is your scholarship.
So
if the school feels like, hey, your scholarship is a waste of money, then they should cut the program. But I'm pretty sure they have to have a certain number of programs. I don't know if that's how Title IX works or not, but maybe it is. They have to have a certain number of programs, then, hey, they have to have those programs. But if you don't bring no money in, you don't get paid.
But how do you justify schools saying that you have to have these certain amount of programs if they can't fund them? Because they're paying football and basketball players the amount that they generate. Because now you're basically taking millions and millions of dollars out that they would just put generally into the school for improvements for other sports. Those sports now have to go away.
No, they get what they get. If I'm Reggie Bush. I need my millions. If the, I don't know, the women's, I don't say tennis, because tennis probably makes some money. Oh, yeah, women bowling. The women's bowling team can't get new uniforms because I got paid, then so be it. They need to make some money.
All right, so let me bring it back around then. So that's what the name and likeness does. It basically says, okay, it doesn't matter if your sport brings in money. You're a gymnast at some double-A, you know, double-A school, but you happen to have 4 million TikTok and Instagram followers. Okay, you're going to get paid now because we can use your name and likeness to sell, you know, water bottles or gym bags, and you can get money for that without having to worry about, you know, your school, your specific sport going to the championship.
And that's cool. It just sucks because what about on the flip side of that, the player who doesn't do social media? So I have zero Instagram followers. I'm just here to play ball. That's it. I'm here to play ball. Why? I can't get paid because I don't got followers. I'm bringing in the school mad money. I just don't feel like being social.
Well,
yeah.
I think you're totally off. I think the college system, once you start offering money for education and a free scholarship, you start running into the problem of what are you actually paying these kids? Like, I don't mind the kids getting paid, but I just want to see how it affects the school in general. Like, if you're telling me that a crew team can't function without the football team because of the amount of revenue that the football team generates, then I would say, hey, kids, you know, this is one of those things where you get a free scholarship, you can get your NIL deal, you know, you get free room and board, you know, you got to chalk up getting paid because the revenue that you're generating pays for other sports. Now, if you're telling me that somebody can do an audit and say, hey, the football team don't pay for nothing, these other sports pay for themselves because these kids generate and fundraise and take care of their own money, then okay, yeah, then give them a cut of the money and the revenue that they bring in for the school.
I think you're overvaluing how much money, and maybe, I don't know the finances, maybe all the money from football goes straight to the other sports. I doubt that's true. I seriously don't think the school ain't pocketing any money. I don't believe that's happening. I don't believe all this money from these bowl games and from these other games is going to pay for women's Batman. I don't think that's what's happening. I'm pretty sure some of it goes to it, and I'm still pretty sure a large percentage of it is going to the school pockets.
I mean, you don't have to believe
that is actually Title IX. When you asked earlier what Title IX is for, that's for equal sharing in sports. So before Title IX, you could have a good football team and literally just put it all back into the football program, and Title IX forces you to share equitably, or whatever the word is, across all sports.
Equitably,
yeah,
how much? Because I know they're getting these new stadiums built, and I don't see new bowling lanes y'all are getting put up.
No.
Yeah, you can.
I mean,
the weight rooms and stuff, they are shared. They are getting better with it with Title IX at these larger schools, the facilities and everything. So you can't say that, but, again, you know, a lot of it's still going to funnel into football. You know, I'll leave basketball out of it just because I'm not a basketball fan. But at the same time, I think the name and likeness just gives individuals the chance to be, you know, to show their entrepreneurial side and make money off of what normally the school would only be able to make money off of. And, yeah, you don't want to be social. You don't want to do that. You don't have to. But, you know, you don't have to go to work every day. You don't have to play college sports. It just depends on how you want to play. It gives you the opportunity.
Okay. And Mextra, Black, y'all got anything y'all want to jump in? It's kind of just been me, Wheezy, and Blur going back and forth. DJ, she sounds like she's fading on this conversation. Y'all got anything y'all want to add before we move on?
Nah, I got a lot of shit going on over here. I'm good.
I think we do need to find out how many burgers you had, though, Beach Bum Gun.
I was a menace to society. I got my double whopper with cheese, nigga.
With cheese. That's it. Hey. I just need to hear that. That's it.
Hey, so why is it taking so long for Russia to take over Ukraine? Wheezy, go.
Oh, that's a good topic. And I'll start off by saying, you know, I'm sensitive to the war, and, you know, I'm not sure how many Ukrainians are on this call and whatnot, but, you know, peace be with you or what have you. But at the same time, I feel like if Russia just
hold on.
What?
How you going? They're in the middle of a war. How you going to say peace be with you or what have you?
I don't know. Like, what do you say?
Duck. Seek shelter immediately.
I don't know, but I'm going to say this. Like, I know, like, when the U.S. goes to war, you know, we secretly want that oil and all that. We're not trying to take over land. But I feel like if the U.S. just wanted to, like, you know what, we just want Mexico, I feel like we could just have it in a couple weeks. And I feel like that's what Russia is doing with Ukraine. Like, they just want that territory. Why haven't they just taken it by now? I don't want to be insensitive, but, you know, they got similar missiles and stuff that the U.S. does, and it's taking forever.
Okay. And make sure you got anything on the top, or you still running these streets? I am. And Mexer might be out there partying tonight. Black, you got anything on why you think Russia's taking so long to take over Ukraine?
So I have a couple of theories. One of them was that I was thinking that they don't want to incur more penalties than they already have right now, like, or to start probably another, like, war. I think most of that might have to do with China because China is doing a lot of business with them, and the more penalties that they incur does affect China at the same time as well. So they're trying to keep it in such a way that it can still look good for them as far as their alliance with China. That's my theory. I'm not saying that it's 100% correct, but that's what I feel like is going on, because Weezy, right, they could just throw down, just take over. Like, there's really nothing stopping them. They have much more firepower. They got more of an arsenal than small ass Ukraine.
Okay. Blur, what you got?
I think this is Putin trying to keep the lie alive. Eventually, I feel like he didn't want it to be an all out war. I think we talked about this when it first started, like how they kind of. They kind of slow-played it into the war with just lining up the military on the border, and then they came out with the fake, oh, yeah, there's Nazis over there, and then something, we got to go free just this little territory right here. They're asking for our help. I think he was trying to just slow-play it instead of just say, hey, we want this territory. We're taking it. He's trying to slow-play and be like, oh, yeah, it just so happens they kept running and it kept expanding. Now we got all of it. I don't think he wanted to be an all-out invasion because, yeah, they could do it pretty quickly. Well, now that we're going to be supplying Ukraine directly, it's going to be even harder for them. But, yeah, I think he was just trying to keep the lie alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated subject. Like, why hasn't Russia taken over Ukraine yet? I don't think Russia wants to destroy Ukraine. As far as everything we've heard through the news, Ukraine and Russia have a, you know, strong emotional tie to each other. They have a strong, you know, like, history and lineage and heritage within each other. I don't think Russia wants to destroy Ukraine. Like, if Russia wanted to just come in and destroy the entire city and just take it over, then cool, they probably could. But I think their whole thing is they want to take over certain parts of the city strategically, take over the government part of it, and try to win favor of the people on their side. Like, if Russia goes in like Germany did, you know, Italy, or Germany did, you know, France, and just, you know, shoot everybody and destroy everything, then you'll never have those people on your side. Ultimately, Russia wants the Ukrainians to believe and come back to the side that they're Russian. and not Ukraine.
Yeah, but do you think that that's because of the fact, because another report came out that America was having a lot more relations with Ukraine and was trying to bring them into the fold to be like their ally. And so that is a direct threat to Russia, because where they're located in conjunction to where Russia is. So if America were to have that alliance and start doing things like they do with, let's say, what's the other country that they have an alliance with? They have, like, a military base there. Then it's a direct threat to Russia because of the fact that now, if things were to pop off, America could easily, you know, attack Russia. So that's another reason why they're strategically going after Ukraine, trying to say, oh, well, you were once part of us. Now you got to come back to us. Because they've been, you know, not a part of them for years. And now all of a sudden you want to have them a part of you? Like, it's just coincidental.
I mean, strategic attack is something, but it's not that big of a deal now. I mean, the world is gotten so small with satellites. I mean, you got missiles that can, you know, go into the lower atmosphere with Elon Musk and them are sending people up. Pete Davidson just came back from the lower atmosphere that can come down and hit a part of the country. I mean, I even listened to a podcast where they were saying that, you know, simply that a lot of countries send satellites up in orbit, you know, just for the simple fact that they have, you know, remote control, you know, coordinates on it, that if something ever happened, they can just type in a coordinate in the country and just send it crashing down to that spot. And, you know, if you anything know about, you know, entering Earth's atmosphere and debris and breakup and all that stuff, you know, even with that small comet that hit in Russia, you know, what, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, that can cause a lot of damage. I mean, Putin is Putin, right? Like, we get the American side. We don't really get the Russian side of the argument. But it seems like Putin, like Blair said last week, Putin was like, yo, that shit was ours before. I want it back. Like, y'all ain't willing to fight for Ukraine, and we not. It's not like America's sending soldiers over there. So Putin, like, yo, I want it back.
We're making that money. We sold them $250 billion worth of arms and ammunition within like the first couple of weeks. $250 billion in weapons just like in a week sent over there. And you know, but we're not supporting them because we don't want, you know, all-out war with Russia. But to me, you know, if I'm fighting somebody and you send them $250 billion in weapons, I don't know what, I mean, I know the U.S. has a lot of weapons, so maybe that's just a, you know, that is a very small percentage, but at the same time, that's a lot for a small country to receive. I mean, you know how fast they armed the regular citizens of their country? Every man, woman, and child was able to get a government-issued rifle. You know, half of them came from the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing that we sent over was those anti-tank ones. I mean, you got to give it to the Ukrainians. You know, their most popular athletes, you know, the Klitschko brothers, like, they're out there fighting. Like, they said Russia came to the bridge, one of the main bridges that go into the city of Kyiv, and the Russians were going across the bridge, and the Ukrainians just blew it up. It was just like, yeah, we don't need to get out. And you ain't coming in either. And, like, just blew up one of the major ways to get in and out the city, and it's just, you know, wartime's crazy, man. And, God bless them. I still wonder about the support of those Ukrainians not letting black people out. Like, I feel like I shouldn't be rooting. Maybe I should be rooting for Russia if Ukrainians don't like the black people. But I don't know how much of those reports are actually true. I haven't seen anything that said.
They're true.
I thought it was more so letting black people into the refugee countries, not letting them out.
No, but so you know how all the Ukrainians are fleeing the country now that there's war. And they have, you know, refugees from African countries who came there for school and whatever. But all of a sudden, when they try to get evacuated, you know, nobody shows up to pick them up. So
that's what I was talking about. Like,
okay, yeah, that from what I hear is true. I'm not sure we should be rooting for Russia or anything, but you know. Yeah.
But who's supposed to be picking up a refugee? Like, I thought you swam your ass into this country. Like, don't you got to swim your ass back out?
Yo.
They're illegally, not like illegal immigrants, but like let's say you're going to school in Ukraine to become a doctor or something, and now the country's at war, they're evacuating all the white people. You show up to get in line for the bus, and they leave without you.
I mean, I dated an immigrant, and you know, I feel like if the country went to war, I feel like I should get a pass out before her because she ain't really from here.
Yo.
I thought that's one of the deals where you come in as an immigrant that, you know, hey, you're welcome to all the life, but we got to take care of the people who are here first, right? No? Are we all equal? Because if so, then I'm going to move to, like, Switzerland. Can I just move to Switzerland and become equal? Or because I'm black, that's not allowed?
You know it.
But... are y'all sure it's true, though? Because I saw the little viral videos of them saying that they ain't letting black people on the train. But I never heard anyone say, hey, you're black, you can't get on the train. Like, I thought it was just like a mass exodus, and they were just trying to keep it in order. Like, I haven't seen anybody say. Go ahead.
I mean, that's one of those things you got to read between the lines. Like, yeah, we full. You, come on in. Just like they do in the club. Like, yeah, we at capacity. You in the miniskirt, you come on in. Like, yeah, you got to read between the lines. They have had, I've seen the interviews when they have had a bunch of black African people saying, yeah, we're being denied. So, yeah, maybe it's not because they're black. Maybe it's because they have hair like wool. I mean, I don't know if that's a better distinction than the other one, but it's like, all right, call it what you want. These people are not being allowed to leave. Maybe it is. They're not being allowed to leave before these other people who have straight hair. So, I mean, maybe it's not a skin thing. Maybe it's something else, but still ending up with the same result.
I guess that's my question. If you're an immigrant and you got in, like, why can't you leave? I guess that's my hang up on, like, I mean, it's just tough to say. For me, like, I haven't seen a video of dude say, yo, you're black, you can't, white people go first. Now, it may not always be that explicit or that, you know, out in front of your face, and they're there. So if y'all seen videos, I'm not going to say you're lying, I'm not going to say you're wrong, I'm just saying me personally, I haven't. I've seen the videos where people say, hey, look, these people are being denied because they're black, and I look at it and, like, it just looks like a clusterfuck where everybody's trying to get out of a house that's on fire. And, you know, like, I saw black people on the train in the same video that they were saying that black people weren't allowed to leave. And I also saw an African dude saying, hey, they asked us to get a rifle and go to war for Ukraine. And he was like, I ain't Ukrainian. Well, then my question to that was like, well, why are you an immigrant to the country if you're not willing to defend the country? Like, I guess I'm kind of confused on that because, like, if America asked me to defend it, I would have to have a valid reason why. I'm not just going to go fight the Viet Cong just because you want to fight it. Give me a reason. If Russia's coming in trying to take us and make us become Russia, cool, I'll get a rifle and shoot. But if you want me to go to Vietnam just so, you know, you can get the good price on heroin, then I'm not going. I don't care if you got a draft.
So I feel like you switching arguments here, though. If you are in a country and someone is invading that country and they say, hey, we need you to defend it, I can see somebody saying, nah, I was just here visiting. I'm not about to die for this place. This ain't my land. I'm just here visiting. If this is your land,
so
then all
hold
your
on,
people
stay right
somebody
there,
invading.
Stay right there. Cause I, and you're right. And I perfectly agree with you. If you say, hey, I was just visiting this country. I'm not about to die for this country. So if someone was invading that country and somebody told you, hey, yo, you just visiting, we got to get the people who are willing to die for this country out, or, you know, people who are actually citizens out first, you got to come last. How is that wrong?
I'm not saying, I mean, well, I think that is wrong, especially if you're denying people access. Like, if they are willing to die for this country, where are they going? So... yeah, and in fact, if it's only A,
facts.
Everybody want to leave, and we choosing these people to go first, we don't know if all those people on the train were Ukrainian. Oh, but we do know with the information we have is that these people who look in a certain kind of way, because that's the easiest way to describe somebody is how they look, were being denied. Again, it could be you can't get in the club because you're wearing sneakers. That could be it. But when you look in the club and you see other people with sneakers on, you start to think, hey, maybe that's not it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I just didn't see the right video. Because I saw white people outside, too. And I saw black people inside the train. So I was like, well, it's not like they kicked all the black people out. It's not like the train was like a white ghost.
Well, look up some of these stories. There's also stories about how, there's other countries who've taken in refugees from Syria, and now they're trying to get rid of the refugees from Syria. They've been trying to get rid of them for years, but now that the war in Ukraine is happening, they're welcoming Ukrainians while at the same time trying to kick out, basically allowing the white people in and then kicking the brown people out. Not black in this case, but brown. So in both cases, it's like, it's just a weird circumstance. It's like, oh, okay, so you're trying to kick all the Syrians out of your country because you let them in and now you're kicking them out and now it's all of a sudden a war in Ukraine. And you're like, come on over, everybody. It's like, well, what's going on?
Oh, I have no doubt that there's racism out there. And I have no doubt that people are going to let these Ukrainians in because, money and opportunity and all that good stuff. I'm not denying that at all. I just, as a person who's been blessed enough to live in a country that's never been invaded, I just want to know I wonder if some of these, videos can be a little bit messed up. Because like you said, if this is true, if Ukrainians are basically telling black people, yo, you can't leave until we get all the white people that want to get out first, then I'm not staying with Ukraine then. I'm black. Like, nah, Russia bombed that shit. All y'all white to me. All y'all fucked up at this point. Bomb them. Get them out of here too.
So that's my original point. Why haven't they bombed them? Get them up out of there. Talking about they blew up a bridge. Why do they need to go over the bridge? Fly a plane. You got planes. You got all that stuff.
Well, they dropping bombs down.
They sure are.
They in the sea dropping bombs on them now. And I'm not even going to laugh at it because people are dying. And again, I don't know if they racist or not. Y'all saying they racist. I don't know. I'm using plausible deniability. So, prayers to Ukraine unless y'all are racist. Then I'd take my prayer back. Y'all got anything left on Ukrainia? The Ukraine? DJ C. Sire, are you tapping out? The University of Penn swimmer's a dude, and she's the what? She's the number one ranked 50-meter freestyle women's champ. 500 or 50?
500.
500 freestyle. Is this a setback for women? Should women be upset? Women got to be upset because they be rooting for the gays and the trans. And then they come in and now they come in to take over their sport. They come to take over their sport.
And a white woman sport at that. They going to be pissed.
Yo, this is the white Juana man.
Yo.
I
wouldn't say this is exactly Juana man, but yeah, you on the right track at least.
I mean, it's close if she's gay.
We don't have no idea if she's gay.
That's why I said if. If she's not gay, then yeah. But if she likes her teammate, then this is the white version of Juana man. This is David Juana man. But, okay. We're not going to stay too long. This is a touchy subject. Yeah, I don't mean to crack jokes, but, it is. I think it is interesting. Should women in college sports compete against transgender women? Black. Dr. Black.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that's right. Because they have an unfair physical advantage. Because phenotypically, they are men. I mean, I don't care how much they, you know, don't believe that they should be, you know, men or whatever they say they are, whether it be a woman or whatever. They are a man. So physically they have, you know, dominance some or advantage over women. So I don't think it's fair to them.
Okay. It's weird to say, hey, they are a man or they are a woman. Because it gets all into the science. I mean, I understand if you're born a man or born with a penis, you're a man in my book. So I personally agree with that. But I can understand the NCAA, the country as a nation, like, legally trying to wrestle with those things. Because it gets into some tricky territory where you say, hey, you were born a penis, you're a man. And people say, nah, I disagree. And right now there's enough people who can disagree with that. I mean, that said, when it comes to competition, I really think the best or the fairest thing would have a transgender level or transgender sport. You got men's sports, you got women's
I
sports.
I agree with that.
Yeah, transgender sports. And I think
I
that would be the easiest way. The big thing with Leah Thompson or Thomas or whatever her name is, I think it's much to do about nothing. I think this is going to be one of those cases that goes down in the history books and is probably never going to be repeated. That's why I don't think it's really like an assault on women's sports, because this was the first test. This is the first time it came up. And NCAA has already made changes to kind of say, yo, this ain't going to happen again. Like, for a while, she was suspended, or she wasn't able to compete, and they had to appeal and everything with the NCAA, and they'd be like, nah, this was your original rules when the season started, so she should be held to the original rules when the season started. And they were like, you're right, she gets to finish this season. Next year, it was different rules. Like, it's not the 16 weeks, it's 36, not the 16 months of hormone treatment, it's 36 months, so well over 2.5 years. Like, they don't really change things, because at first NCAA were making their own rules because the International Olympic Committee didn't have rules set yet. The International Olympic Committee came down with their own set of rules that are a lot stiffer. They're like, oh, we're going to adopt those. They tried to put them in place for this year, but the season had already started. They're like, hold up. You can't change the rules up midway through the game. They're like, all right, she gets to finish this. Everybody behind her is going to have to follow Olympic rules. And I don't know exactly what happens when you start taking the treatments, but I think if you suppress your testosterone for 2.5 years, I mean, you might be getting your ass kicked by some women.
It's funny that you said that the NCAA had stiffer penalties for a woman with a penis.
Why don't that just be the rule that you just not have a penis anymore? Does that not make any difference on the hormones? But she shouldn't compete if she has a penis.
I doubt it, because, I mean, look, she done already went through training. If you cut your penis off, but you still, I think you still produce testosterone, so I don't think that gets the job done.
Dr. Black, can you produce testosterone without penis and nuts?
What did you say? Repeat that.
Can you produce testosterone without penis and nuts?
I mean, if you're given if you're given testosterone, that doesn't mean that you can go ahead and produce sperm.
Dr. Black, if you're a dude, if you're born a dude in our sense of the word, and you pay somebody to cut your dick and your nuts off, do you still produce testosterone?
Yeah, you still produce testosterone. That's why you're giving the hormones to try to reduce it.
Testosterone don't come from your nuts, though, Gunn. I feel like you didn't need to ask the doctor that one. I think we all know testosterone don't come from your nuts.
I thought it did. That's where my testosterone comes from, my nuts. Ain't that right, DJ C-Sire?
I just told you over here, no, you're pituitary.
I'm doing a show. I can't talk to you in silence all the time. I'm sorry. I'm trying to entertain the nation. I thought you were having a stroke. I didn't know that you have a pituitary gland.
So, Beach Bum Gun, let me cut in here for a second. So, one part, you're missing part of the story. She or they won, and the governor of Florida basically vacated that championship and gave it to the second place person. So that person actually didn't win in the history books. I mean, I don't know how they were going to record it, but like the governor basically vacated the win and gave it to the second spot. My other point is that the second place finisher, who was a natural born female or whatever that's called nowadays, she was a multi-time Olympic medalist. She's won Olympic medals in Tokyo for that same event, and now this one, transgender athlete comes in and all of a sudden just dominates? Like, that should tell you right there, it's just not fair. Like, this person, in second place has won gold medals on the U.S. national team, and now you have this transgender individual coming in, and, from growing up as a man, your arms can be longer, your joints are going to be different, and then all of a sudden, 20 years later, you're going to start taking hormone therapy and then just all of a sudden win. I don't agree with that personally. I think that's dangerous territory. I'm all fine what you want to identify with, but when you start getting back into sports, that's a touchy subject. I mean, at the beginning of the call, like I said, I identify as a 20-year-old male, but I can't go back and play Towson football again. Even though, hey, that's how I identify, 20-year-old male. And, just because I'm bald don't mean I'm not 20, Beach Bum Gun. So, hey, what you going to do?
Yeah, go ahead, Blair.
I was just going to say, Ron DeSantis ain't got the power to do nothing. Like, I mean, he could say, in Florida, we going to ignore her and give it to the Floridian. That's cool. Don't nobody care what Florida put down in their record books. Like, nah. The NCAA and all of sports history outside of Florida.com is going to recognize Leah Thompson as the champion. That man just doing stuff to talk on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody. I mean, Florida's a weird, weird place. But, okay, so to advance the story forward and Dr. Black, feel free to jump back in. Weezy, feel free to jump back in. DJ C. Siren, I know you've fallen asleep because you had too much gin earlier. But have we now proven the fact that men are dominant than women?
Was that ever in question?
I thought women were equal to men.
Physically? I don't think women being physically equal to men was ever in question. That's why we have women's sports, because women can't compete with men in sports.
See, I feel like you would get in trouble for saying that. Women can't compete with men in sports. I feel like women would be upset by you saying that.
I don't think so. And you start counting things like bowling, and I'm sorry to keep picking on bowling. You start doing things like bowling where physical ability really isn't
sport.
That big of a factor, maybe. But, I mean, it's more of a sport than gymnastics. But, I mean, stuff like that. Yeah, they can compete because it's not about physicality. It's not about your physical makeup.
But Thompson
was ranked like low 500s, and now is one of the best women. Like, come on. It was never even a question. If I think Serena Williams even said that she can't beat any man in tennis. Like, she would be like ranked in the low 100s, if that. And she's the best ever in tennis.
You said
she
can't
compete with
any
of the men.
Just to peek in here, gymnastics is more of a sport than bowling. You tell me Simone Biles isn't an athlete?
She's an athlete, but they have judges. I feel like if you got judges, it's a competition, not really a sport.
So does boxing.
Let me say something real quick. I'm not saying that women can't compete in sports with men, but I feel like the reason why it's separated is because men also – because, all right, for instance, if you ever played pickup basketball and it was integrated where it's like both men and women playing at the same time, if you're checking a girl, nine times out of ten – well, I'm speaking for myself. you're not going to check it the same way you're checking a dude. So my thing is guys don't – I feel like they won't feel like they're comfortable playing the sport along with a woman because they feel that, oh, a woman's too fragile or they might hurt her or they'll feel bad if they do hurt her. It's the reason why you're not going to see men playing women in football. Like, that's not going to happen.
Although women, because physically they can't compete.
There are girls that could compete. I mean – And they'll be the first ones to say that they can compete with men. So, but at the same
how
time,
many
I don't
women,
feel like
how many women you think would make the NBA?
I mean, there's not that many, but I would say
make a roster on the NBA team.
I think Brittany Griner could make a roster if she wasn't a political prisoner in Russia for
being
absolutely gay and smoking weed.
Absolutely not. Brittany Griner would not make any NBA team. Anyone.
No?
No.
You don't think there's a woman, you don't think Deanna Taurasi and her Titan could make any NBA roster?
No. Absolutely
what about,
not.
With the Sue Bird, the best WNBA player ever, Sue Bird.
I don't even think she's the best ever, but she's probably one of the more recent great ones. No, I don't think she could compete with any NBA team. No, not seriously. No, not a one.
She's got more accolades than LeBron James. She's got more WNBA championships. She's got NCAA championships. She's got Olympic gold medals. She's got scoring championships. She's got all that. Like, they did a comparison with her
and
LeBron James.
Because she wasn't guarding Kyrie Irving. That's why.
I mean, I guess, but, hey, money – I mean, winning talks. All you can do is play the correct sport and win it.
But that's what we're saying. Like, yeah, she's great in women's basketball, and they have women's basketball because none of them would make a court in men's basketball. I don't think not a female – I don't think there's a female in the WNBA who would make a single roster. To be honest, I mean, this might where it get a little tricky. I don't think they make a roster in the D-League, the G-League for Gatorade.
Now, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know because men are, you know, physically gifted because of testosterone. But I feel like there's some women – I feel like there's a lot of bad basketball players out there that some great women – like there's some great role-playing women out there that could easily control the court, play good defense. Now, my mom wanted to tell you, Blair, she said, that's not true. Billie Jean King won Battle of the Sexes against a dude, Bobby Riggs, in straight sets for $100,000.
Wait, was it Bobby Riggs? I remember who, I thought it was the dude who always yelled. I can't think of his name.
No, not McEnroe. McEnroe's a little bit, way too young. That was Billie
Jean
King.
Wasn't that a celebrity exhibition thing where, and I don't remember how old dude was, but I think he was a little bit past his prime.
No, not Billie Jean King. That was real. It's not our generation. It's a little older than like McEnroe and stuff.
So Billie Jean King was handling serves at 150 miles an hour.
And dudes weren't serving that back then, but yeah, she was handling whatever they were giving out back then. But that's what Serena said.
Well,
you know, even Agassi can serve like 110. And now
that's
you just
too fast. That's just too fast when they are barely breaking 100.
Yeah, and all you got to do is say something mean to Naomi Osaka, and she quit. So
yeah, she
and go to
third.
This woman is never mind. Let me not about her going into treatment since she's getting bullied on the tennis court.
What you gonna say, yo? That's why we don't use real names. What you gonna say?
Say it. I was about to say the same thing myself.
This can't be the best. This can't be the best. This got to be a bad look for women. Talking about Leah Thompson winning, this might be a worse look for women's sports than Leah Thompson winning. Because say what you want to say about Leah Thompson, I think she's actually bringing people together. I actually thought she might be trolling people. She might be trolling people like, yo, let me show you what I can do so we can finally end this debate because. Republicans, Democrats, men, women, everybody saying like, nah, this ain't it. This ain't what we were talking about. This is going too far. So across the board, people are pushing back against this. People have been riding for this mental health thing in Naomi Osaka, and she's talking about she getting bullied. on the tennis court, and she's now in therapy specifically for people heckling her from the stands. This is a bad look for women. This is a real bad look for women.
Do you think it's a bad look for women? Need AC siren?
No.
He's just giving me a no. DJ says she ready to pass up.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think people need to calm down and just see how it plays out. I mean, it's not. I mean, it is what it is.
Can I ask you this? Sorry, the question.
I don't understand why people are so kind of up in arms. Maybe if it was something a little more dominant in terms of interest, but. Right now, I don't think it's that big of an argument right now, and I don't think it's a letdown. I don't think it's a, you know, it's just like saying. I mean, you would say, like I said, I still liken it to someone else who genetically was more designed. We'll say felt. You know, it's like saying, you know, I'm mad because I swim really well, and you know, I had to swim against Phelps, who didn't have, you know, who doesn't have lactic acid. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, that's just. I'm sorry, it just didn't work, and you know. So, no, I'm good.
Phelps swam against a great white shark in one.
That's so bad. You just have to move it, and you know. We'll see.
I was going to say women have had a tough year with Osaka, the Liam thing, and that gymnastic girl, that gymnastic black girl who just quit. And I was going
to Simone say, Biles.
Huh? Simone Biles. I was going to say, yeah, women have had it rough, man. Y'all just quitting all over the place. But then we got Kyrie Irving, who just tapped out half of the NBA season. So I can't even put it on.
Even Kyrie had a built-in excuse. Like, I'm pretty sure he could say, like, yo, I'll play if they let me play. I mean, he got an excuse. I don't think any – I would say any. I would love to see Naomi Osaka – not love. I want them to really see, like, I don't think either Naomi Osaka, Simone Biles, maybe even the women in the WNBA who couldn't come out after they lost. I would love to see them get the Russell Westbrook treatment.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook ready to fight fans. They call him,
man,
Westbrook.
Like, the way they be going at him, and, like, this is – he's one of the greats. And the way they be going at him, man, he just got to sit there and take it and keep playing. Nah, ain't no tapping out. There ain't no tapping out.
Yeah, that's true. You got a good point there.
Game.
Hey,
100%.
Okay. Weezy, you got anything else? Or Black?
Nah, I'm there with him, so.
Good.
God bless that. God bless that man. He's now a woman. Congrats on your wins. Ryan Coogler. So Ryan Coogler, I thought he got arrested. Blur sent me the article earlier this week. So Ryan Coogler went to an Atlanta bank. You know, Atlanta must be popping, you know. Went to an Atlanta bank, stuck his card in the machine, which I didn't even know that's what you need to do to withdraw money. Yeah, but the teller had a machine for your PIN number. So now instead of filling out withdrawal slips, you stick your card in the machine. It's like an ATM.
Oh, no.
I guess. This is the way it was explained in the article. I'm used to filling
out
deposits.
Yeah, Bank of America got, and I think U.S. Bank and Bank of America, they don't do slips anymore. You just got to show your card. Whenever I pay my rent and stuff, I don't, like, send it to my landlord. I just go put it in his bank account. And so they still have slips available, but if you come up there with a slip, they're like, nah, we don't need that. Just stick your card. And I'm like, yo, this ain't my account. And they're like, oh, all right. And then you do it, like, for me, like, my name's on the account. Like, so they, as a someone who puts money in it every month, so I don't have to go through all the hoops, but, yeah, they tell you right away, we don't want your paper, just stick your card in.
Yeah, and one of the most bizarre stories of, you know, the last 2 months, like Ryan Coogler, famous, you know, for directing one of the greatest black films ever, Black Panther. I'll argue with Blair about that any day of the week. went to withdraw $12,000 out of his account, you know, stuck his card in, showed his ID, gave the teller a note that said, hey, count it in the back. I want this to be discreet. She took that as, I think this black dude might be robbing the bank, and called the cops. The cops came, put him in handcuffs, and put him in the cop car.
He wrote her a note?
Yeah, he wrote her a note that said, be discreet. Don't count the money in front of everybody. Because you know you're going to tell her. You're in public. So he said, you know, go in the back and be discreet. Count the money in the back and just hand it to me.
I don't know, B. You can't write and tell her a note. Did he give her like a black bag too? Like
But one of the key points is he showed her his ID and stuck his card in.
Yeah, so it's none of your business how the bank does their business and can hand you their money. You make an appointment and go to the back room if you want to do like that. You can't hand no teller working 9 to 5 a note that says this is go in the back and count my shit. It's like, no,
you can tell them how you want it, and you say, hey, don't money. I don't want to hear the money machine running and everybody looking at me.
Yeah, then make an appointment. Go in the back. If you're waiting in line like the rest of us broke asses, then you go and get the 5s and the 10s like everybody else.
You get the $2 bill.
You can't hand nobody their note. I mean, I'm all for it, but I don't know.
Why
that's not the hill I want to die. Go to your bank tomorrow, and not at the beginning, in the middle of the transaction, hand them a note, a handwritten note that says anything, and see what happens.
And let it be known that note was on a withdrawal slip. He didn't like have this pre-written out. He wrote it on his withdrawal slip.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just mention it to the teller? Or say, hey, can I speak to the manager real quick? That's all wrong, B. That's all wrong. I don't know.
But Weezy, why would it be suspicious if he gave her his ID and the PIN number on his card he had to enter? There should be
suspicious. Because you've got a customer directing a bank employee on how to do their job. Yeah, it's your money. If you need something specific, like there's rappers all the time. They get, you know, like Floyd Mayweather. He was on Jimmy Kimmel, and Jimmy Kimmel asked him, like, how do you get, like, you know, you're famous for showing up to strip clubs with like just bags of like $1 million in cash. He's like, how do you get it? Floyd Mayweather says, oh, you got to order it. You just can't walk in and tell them you want the cash. You got to order it. So you either know the game or you don't.
But $12,000 is not that big a large sum of money. And the reason he does it that way, he said he's never had a problem with it at any of his other banks. Because I guess he usually does this in L.A. That's how he gets his money. He goes in, he puts the stuff in, and he hands them a note saying, hey, this is me.
Handwritten note.
Count it to the side.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
Apparently, like in the article, in Black, you've taken out thousands of dollars for strip clubs. Is this how you do it? Like,
why you called you out,
got
man?
To. Like, apparently this isn't, like, this is normal behavior when most people want to withdraw a lot of money. If they ask for it to be discreet, they'll hand a note. Like, this isn't, from everything that we've read in the article, this isn't out of the norm. Black, do you think that the cops should have been called on him after he put his ID in?
I didn't.
Even though he wrote a secret note?
No, I didn't think he needed to have the cops called on him because he gave his ID. Like, if I'm really trying to rob the bank, why the fuck would I give my ID?
Yeah. I think all suspicion goes out the door when you give somebody your ID.
Exactly.
Maybe you're just that bold.
All of a sudden, nobody's seen said it all. Ain't nobody in here on this call seen said it all.
Hey, I've seen said up a number of times. I ain't never seen them give up their ID. I ain't never seen them give up their ID at all.
When you get that handwritten note, it's going down.
Yeah. Not when you get the handwritten note and ID.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you get a handwritten note that says, give me $50,000, motherfucker. You get a handwritten note along with your ID and your personal identification number. It's not like they just gave him the ID. They gave him the ID number that they picked out that is only for that account. I got my man New York, New York on the line. New York, New York, we're talking about Ryan Coogler getting arrested, man. Have you heard the story?
Yeah, I heard the story, but I'm in an event right now.
I'm listening.
I'm going to
come back
on me. Yo, New York,
New York,
coming up. Yeah, I do think mistakes were made. I think mistakes were made on Ryan Coogler's part. I ain't going to say it's not any, he didn't do nothing wrong. Mistakes were made on his part, and mistakes were made on the bank's part. I think he was being overly cautious.
What's Coogler's fault? I want to take this one step at a time. What did Coogler do that was wrong? Because you blaming the black man.
I mean, black people could be wrong, too. Shit, I fuck up. Players fuck up. All right. But
no,
the teller said she tried to ask him some questions, and he refused to talk to her, just kept saying, read the note. Like, you being extra, and I understand you think you're famous, you don't want no one to hear your voice, you got a low hat on, a mask on, and glasses. So it is, I understand it's going to be hard to see my face with all that.
Yeah,
and
man,
I'm saying, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me, just read the note. Like, you're being suspicious.
No, you're not.
Because she tried to ask him, hey, she said, how do you want your bills? And he said, read the note. The note didn't say how you want your bills, so now you're being extra, now you're acting funny. You're acting funny.
Don't matter.
So I mean, again, I don't think he deserved the cops to be called on. I just think, all right, look, you ain't helping the situation.
Okay.
And again, he could have went to the office. He could have went to the bank manager, like, yo, you might not know who I am or whatever. I just don't want to do my transaction out in the open. A bank manager would have been like, all right, cool, come over here. That would have been fine, too.
But $12,000 ain't enough. $12,000 ain't enough to get the bank manager. Maybe $1 million. Maybe a quarter
anything
million.
You can go back there for any amount of money. You can get it. You just have to wait.
Old people all the time, they just don't feel comfortable with doing the card. They still only feel comfortable with the slip. So they go into the little office on the side, and they have them do it right there sitting down at a desk. Like,
yeah,
it could be worked out.
You ever
get
to a credit union? Yeah, old people will wait hours for a meeting at the bank to give their little nephew $20. You know, to write a little check for them. That's just what they do. Now you tell this man.
What I'm saying is, he didn't think that was an enough amount of money to do all that. All she had to do was read the note and just be discreet.
Yeah, I'm not saying he deserved that to cops. I'm just saying mistakes were made because. All right, she's trying to process it, and somebody's trying to help you, and they ask you a question. This ain't time to be Hollywood. It be like, don't speak to me, just read the note. You can just answer her question. Just say, hey,
yeah.
Big bills.
Beach Bum Gun, you're an accountant. So let me tell you, let's say you're working at a bank teller. You can easily put yourself in that position. You've been dealing with money all day, people coming in, $7,000, $8,000, doing their business, and then you get some idiot who's masked up, got sunglasses on, a hat on, who just gives you a note, has all the proper ID, but then gives you a note that says, just be discreet, go in the back and count my money. I don't think you'll call the cops on him, but you know what you're going to do? You're going to be like, shit, and you're going to count his money right there, you're going to give them to him and say, next. So it's one or the other. You're either going to get everybody else in the line, or you're going to wait for the bank manager.
But see,
or that's what the bank teller did. They're like, yo, call your manager, like, yo, can you take him over there? Like, I don't feel comfortable doing this. It's a little suspicious. Can you go over there? Like, sir, my manager's going to help you over there in his office. Like, there were steps skipped between feeling uncomfortable and calling the cops.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, this couldn't have been avoided. No one's wrong. I just don't think Coogler did anything wrong. I mean, okay, I say that Coogler didn't do anything wrong unless I found out that there were some protocols that were skipped. So what you're saying, Weezy, I agree with. And again, you know, Black, feel free to jump in.
New York, New York, I know you out in these streets, man. You can go ahead and hang up and enjoy your night, man. And we'll catch up next week. But if I work at a bank and the protocol for me to give someone money out their funds is to collect their ID and verify their PIN number or have them verify their PIN number because he had to put in his PIN number. And then that allows me to give them funds out their account. If that's all he had to do, then just because he, whether he asked for $5 or $1 million shouldn't matter. I won't be able to get in trouble if I follow protocol. Just because somebody says, yo, I want $100 out of my account. Here's my ID. Here's my PIN number. She gives me $100. If I turn around and say, yo, I want $200,000 out of my account, but yo, just don't count it here, count it discreetly, but I still verified it the exact same way as if somebody took out $100, there shouldn't be any issue with me asking for you to be discreet.
That wasn't and the ask.
Now though. the teller has every right to say, yo, I can count your money out here in front of everybody else like I do every other money. She has every right to say that. Like, yo, I count $100 out here, I count $100,000 out here. You either take it or leave it. She has every right to say, fuck your note. But she doesn't have a right.
That's all I'm saying. The note is weird. The note is weird. You can't hand no teller a note and then, like, not give any verbal. Like people just going to recognize you out the blue. You know, I don't get that. You either need a bigger bank that deals with people who are ballers or stand in line like the rest of everybody. That's like going to the back of the liquor store to cash your check and then handing them a note saying, go in the back and count it. I don't want to be obvious. They're going to go in the back and come back with a shotgun.
I mean, it don't even have to be that far. You could just be like, yo, ask some questions. Like, I feel like they skipped all types of steps. And because even when she called 911, the 911 operator was like, okay, is it his account? And she's like, I don't know. Like, did you run it? I didn't. It's just feels sketchy. Or she said, feels sketchy or feels shaky. And the 911 operator was like, well, maybe he just wants to be discreet. If the 911 operator is telling you, all right, we got cops en route, but maybe he just wants to be discreet. Like, maybe you should stop him. Like, you know, maybe he does just want to be discreet. Let me just follow the steps like I'm supposed to and see if anything happens.
It's his account. It doesn't even matter whether he gave a note or not. It's his bank account. It's verified.
Yeah, right.
He gave the ID.
Those aren't the normal steps. You can't hand nobody a note. You want to close your account out? Sure. This is how I close account outs at my job. I've been working for 5 years.
Nah.
All of a sudden, somebody can come in and hand me a note and not give me no verbal.
Nah, you changing it, Weezy. He filed what Black is saying, right. He did all the steps to withdraw money out of his account like anybody else. The only thing he added was the note. Everything else was verified correct.
A shaky-ass note.
Why got to be shaky? How do you know it wasn't well-written? The man writes script.
Answer me this.
He's probably got great premises.
What's the threat of giving you a note from my bank account? What's the threat?
That's just not the way business is normally done. And when you do that,
that's that white talk. That's
called a red flag. When was the last time
I won't call
you
white talk, but
money out the bank and then you handed him a note that said, go count it in a bank and don't say my name. I'm trying to be discreet. And you wearing a mask because it's COVID. You got on a hat and sunglasses because you think you're famous. That's called a red flag.
No, it's not, yo. Just because you don't do it, I agree with Black. Just because you don't do it the way that everybody else do it, if you verify the protocols that you set, which is your PIN number and your ID, then you shouldn't have to have a problem.
Money made
shouldn't have to. But as a Black person who has plenty of run-ins, I think you know when you set yourself up for failure. And
stop using my skin color against me, yo.
I mean, this is America, man. Did you forget where you live at?
Just because I'm Black don't mean I should accept other people's problems.
I bet the teller was Black. It's Atlanta. I bet
she was Black.
To do with it. Weird shit.
Not all.
I think
race
did have something to do with it. But she was Black. But you are saying like, yeah, you followed the rules the way you didn't do anything wrong by the letter of the rules, but you set yourself up for failure by being extra. Like, we've all seen people do stuff that just sets themselves up for failure. It's just like, come
exactly.
on, you're trying to get yourself in trouble. You're trying to.
Yep.
By, Black. By rule, by law, he didn't do anything wrong. Absolutely right. So he shouldn't have had any trouble. But
hey,
we're dealing with humans. We're dealing with people.
I think the only thing he did wrong was thinking he can use his celebrity. That was it. He didn't think about it being, because he's in Atlanta. He didn't think his skin color had anything to do with it. I think he thought with his celebrity, he can get away with using a note. But he followed everything else to a T. So he shouldn't have gotten penalized for that shit.
Gunn, you're an accountant. You were taught to look for red flags when people are dealing with money. You're taught this. You're taught this. So when somebody comes up to you, if I came up to your school account and I started depositing $9,999 in a student's account every week or whatever account, you're going to say, hey, that's a red flag. If you work the front desk at a bank and somebody masked up in sunglasses walks in and hands you a note, that's also called a red flag. That's
Not
all
if
I'm
they
saying.
Verified their ID. They told you who they are. Put in the secret.
Then tell them you want to come into the bank.
That
Why can't
only
you tell
accesses them? Their account. That's not a red flag.
Well, no. It's not a bright red flag. Let's put it that way. Because having your account, that doesn't nullify that. Hey, trying to do bank with a note and not talking to somebody, it's still a red flag. But it shouldn't be like a flashing bright red flag. Because it's like, all right, look, this is funny, but he checks out. And that really what it should have been her steps. Yo, this is odd. But it checks out.
At the ATM, you do less verification.
He could have hit the ATM.
But they only let you
take out
$500.
I mean, not for that amount,
he
probably,
strip
but...
Club. He ready to hit the strip club, yo.
True. But I agree with that. What was that? Just said a blur. It was probably odd. The teller probably could have laughed it off. Like, yeah, it's strange, but whatever, it checks out. I agree with that, but otherwise, you know, you get the wrong teller, that's a red flag all day.
She should have just did her job. You're absolutely right about that, Gunn, and Dr. Black. She should have just did her job. And I think if you just do your job, like, all right, look, it checks out. If I'm wrong. It ain't my fault. I'll follow the rules.
There
it's
you
only
go.
12,000. We got it.
That's what Bill Belichick said. Do your job. Do your job. That's it.
Was that Bill Belichick or Sean Payton?
I think it was Bill Belichick.
Belichick.
Hey, so we only got about 5 minutes left. Let's go around the room. So Blur is Black, if y'all didn't know. And he's okay with people owning slaves. So I want to get...
Don't listen, man. Do not listen to this, man.
I want to get an opinion around the room. Black. If you're Black, that's a lot of Black shit. It says Black. If you're Black, can you ever be okay with someone owning slaves?
No, I couldn't. There ain't no way.
Wheezy.
What color are the slaves?
Oh, see, you about to
get
great
question.
That is a great question.
I mean, because it's extremely cheap labor. You know, your profit margins will be through the roof. It's just, you know. What color are the slaves?
any slaves. You got white slaves, Black slaves, Puerto Rican slaves, Dominican slaves.
My friend Roach.
South American
white
slaves.
Slave Roach.
White slave Roach. Blur, explain yourself why you're okay with white people having slaves, yo.
Hey, first, let me correct this dude. I did not say I'm okay. I said I understand. And we were talking historically about England owning white slaves. I'm like, oh, okay, I understand that. That was the times. And he's like, I think he said it don't matter the times. And I said, yeah, because before then, they were just killing people. You would take over land and slaughter all the people. That's your land now. Like, there wasn't enough resources to go around. You weren't taking prisoners. You weren't taking slaves. You just killed everybody. Like, that's you. And then after that, it was, okay, we're going to take over the Scottish, whoever, and we're going to rule over them. They are now our people or our slaves or whatever. I think taking over the ruling over them came after putting them into slavery. And then we went to American slavery was like, oh, we're not taking over. We're just taking these people from over there because we're better than them. They're like, hold up. We passed that. You working backwards. So it's not like I was okay with slavery. I just understood that through, I guess, geopolitical warfare during the times, that's just what you did. You conquered the land and you took the people. That's just how it happened.
How it happened to black people, too.
I mean, they didn't conquer Africa and take over Africa. They just stole the people.
China took over Africa. But no, you had the land, and you needed free labor to cultivate the land. So you went and got free labor. You cool with that? Because that was just the way of the times? Because it wasn't just America that had slaves.
Yeah, and that's people have owned slaves all over the world at different times, and it's never a good thing. I'm not saying I'm happy with it. I'm just saying I understood that was the time. Because, like, if you go back to the Aztecs and if you go back to the Native Americans where, hey, when these two tribes warred, they warred to genocide. They were taking out that other tribe completely. Men, women, children wiped out. Like, that was it. All right, we warring. It's us or you. And it's going to be us. So it's going to be no more you. So that was the option. And then the next option is, all right, we're going to take over this land, and then this is now our land, and these people are now going to work for us. I think it's just an evolution of thought. And then once we move past that thought, like, yo, we don't own people, they're going to, like, I guess whatever they did to the Scottish, they're like, hey, we're just going to tax them or whatever. Cool. We can't go backwards to taking over a slave like the U.S. slave trade. Like, that was a step back in thought process and what we thought was right.
I totally disagree with you. But we'll end there because we got called tonight. It's been a good, fun 2 hours. Shout out to Moni. Shout out to M Extra. Shout out to DJ C. Simon. They all had to step off because of Moni had to work. DJ C. Simon passed out. M Extra's in these streets. Shout out to New York, New York. He in these streets. He came home for a second. And then just dipped off. We got to get out of here, man. Shout out to Brother Black, Weezy, Blur, and Brother Black. Thanks for calling in. Black, you got anything to say to the people before we roll?
Have everybody good night. That's it.
Happy early birthday and congratulations again, my brother. Weezy, anything you want to say to the people?
Tell nephew I said what's up. Tell him I'll send the watch within a week. You got it.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Blur, anything you got, man?
This Sunday, man, Oscar ceremony. At first, I know a couple weeks ago I came on here and said Denzel going to win his second Oscar. I still think he should win it, but it looks like Will Smith, man. Will Smith is about to win Best Actor in the movie for playing Venus and Serena's dad. I don't think he was all that great, but he's won all the other awards so far. So this Sunday, man, tune in to see Will Smith pick up an Oscar. And shout out to all the people bringing people together, man. Shout out to Leah Thomas bringing all these people together. Shout out to Putin bringing Ukraine and America together. I mean, it's a lot of people coming together, man. Shout out to them.
Will Smith's having a hell of a year, but if he's alive and I Am Legend 2, then I'll be disappointed. Like, he better just be a narrator. Zombies got him, right? Like, it's over.
Well,
right?
he blew himself and the zombies up, so I don't know if they got him, he got them. I mean, we'll see. I'm interested to see where they go with it.
If he's a narrator, I'm okay. Oh, Jesus, that's a hell of a block. If he's a narrator, I'm okay with it. But if he's alive after running himself into the little glass, I'll be disappointed. But all right, man, we out of here, man. Y'all have a good night. We'll catch y'all next week.
Peace.